Sometimes it feels like time is standing still. The pull gets stronger as each day goes by. I feel the hunger to dance on an ordinary
Lucy Kalantari and the Jazz Cats from the Grammy-winning All the Sounds album with Howl to the Moon. You're listening to the Children's Hour. Today's show is about the moon. We have a learning guide that goes with this episode. You can find it at childrenshour.org. Look for the moon. Today we have many guests on the show. Right now we're talking with Commander Reid Wiseman. He's the commander of NASA's Artemis II mission to go back to the moon.
What's your day in the life like in space?
Oh, Joe, in space, on the International Space Station, Christina spent almost a year up there, 328 days, and Victor Glover spent about the same amount of time I did, 165 days. And our day is, it's not unlike your day here on Earth. So we wake up, I'm going to say it's not unlike your day. And then I'm going to tell you that we wake up at about 6 o'clock in the morning. But maybe for school, you do wake up that early. And we usually have a meeting with our ground control teams so that we know what we're going to do for that day. And then we have breakfast. And then after that, we start our work day. And we generally focus on three things on the International Space Station. We have to keep that magnificent space station flying. So there's a lot of maintenance that we do. And then the primary reason we are up there is to conduct science for researchers on the ground. So about a third of our day is spent conducting science for the researchers. And then a third of our day is spent working on our own bodies. When we are living off of the planet, we don't have the effects of gravity working on our body. So our bodies will get very weak very quickly if we're not exercising significant amounts of time in the day. So working on our body, and our body is also a scientific experiment when we're on the space station. So doing ultrasound of our bones, our muscles, our eyes, taking blood and analyzing what's going on with our heart, our lungs, our microbiome, gut bacteria, all of that is very important for what we do. So a third of our day working on the space station, a third of our day conducting science, and a third of our day taking care of our own bodies.
Obviously, being able to travel beyond low Earth orbit and conduct a flyby around the moon holds a lot of historical weight in the analogs of space exploration. It carries a significant amount of pressure. So how has this affected how you feel about your upcoming mission?
People talk a lot to us about the pressure of this mission. And I think as professional astronauts, I don't want to say we neglect that pressure, but we don't really think about it. We have a mission to accomplish. We have an amazing training team that is getting us ready for that mission. And we have a tremendous amount of trust in NASA and in our companies that are building these spacecraft. So when it comes down to it, I think by the time we get on that rocket, we'll be ready. We'll be a little nervous for sure. It's a lot of energy, but I think we have a lot of trust in our teams, and it's really been fun. And I wish you could see the crew together on a given day, because we really rely on each other. Not everybody's having a great day every day, but we really help each other pull ourselves into the focus of the mission. And I've leaned on Victor and Christine and Jeremy almost every day, and they're just really great people to get to work with.
That's NASA's Artemis II mission commander, Reid Wiseman. Would you want to go explore space and be an astronaut like Commander Wiseman? We'd love to know. You can visit childrenshour.org and leave us a message on our SpeakPipe under our contact page. This episode is called The Moon, and we have a learning guide posted that goes along with it. Find it at childrenshour.org. Look for The Moon. We've got more with Commander Wiseman, and we're going to learn about what happens to the samples that are collected on the moon when they come back to Earth. You're listening to The Children's Hour. This is Our Native Daughters. our native daughters there with Moon Meets the Sun from Songs of Our Native Daughters. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today on the show, we're learning about the moon. And right now, our guest is Commander Reed Wiseman. He is the commander of the NASA Artemis II mission to go back to the moon. And the kids have a lot of questions about being an astronaut. Let's go over to Thorfinn.
What was it like living 24/7 with no gravity?
Probably the thing that I could most relate because of the last sentence you said, 24/7 without gravity. You know, at the end of a day at school where you've had a long day, a lot of work, and you sit down on the couch and you just feel that feeling of relief. When you're in a microgravity or a weightless environment for half a year, you never, ever get to sit down. You never get that feeling at the end of a day where you just sit down and let everything just go, because you're floating the entire time. The other thing that I like to explain is that things on Earth that are very hard are usually very easy in space. And things on Earth that are very easy are usually very hard in space. So if you want to move a refrigerator on Earth, that is very hard. But on the International Space Station, you could just use your finger and move that entire refrigerator because it has mass, but it doesn't have weight. So you can get it going and you can move it anywhere you want. But then on the flip side, if you open a bag of trail mix in space, it is nearly impossible to eat a bag of trail mix because you have little peanut bits and M&M bits and sunflower seeds, and they're going everywhere. And like that simple thing on Earth where you just, you know, tilt that trail mix bag back and eat it. It's nearly impossible to do that when you don't have gravity. So I've always said I would love to see a 10-year-old on the International Space Station because your brain would adapt so quickly and you would figure out new ways to accomplish your mission so fast. But it is wild to be up there, even when I was 39 years old on the space station, to see how much my body improved every day to that microgravity environment.
I have to ask a question, follow up on this. When you eat in space, then do you have to actually like place the food in your mouth one bite at a time? And then when you swallow, what makes it go down to your stomach? I guess I always assumed that was gravity.
Human body is an amazing machine. So it is weird. The first week that you're in space, you have to force yourself to eat and force yourself to drink because your body really doesn't want to do that. But after a few days in space, your body just starts to sort out when it's hungry and when it needs to go to the bathroom, and it all does work out. I always found, not to go too deep into the gross sections of the human body, but I always found that when I had to pee, it would just come on out of nowhere. And I almost thought it was like because the urine is all around your bladder instead of settling at the bottom. And you know, when we're on Earth, your bladder fills up and fills up and fills up. And then your brain goes, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. But in space, that fluid is all around your bladder. It doesn't fill up from the bottom to the top because there's no gravity to do that. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have to pee right now. And you don't have to pee a lot. And then a few hours later, I'll go by and you're like, oh, I don't know if I got to pee or not. And you'll pee a tremendous amount. And so that stuff, for me personally, my body never really figured it out.
So what happens if you fart while you're in space? Or in the space station?
So you do actually, and you do significantly more than on Earth because there isn't gravity like sorting out everything in your GI tract. And so you pass gas all the time. It's just a part of life up there all day long. You almost giggle at how much you have to pass gas, just little bits throughout the day. But it's just, if you just step back and realize that that's your body working in microgravity, it's okay. And you start to realize foods that make it worse and foods that make it better. So like for some of my crewmates, eating dried prunes, that was a very bad decision. And so you just start to eliminate those things from your diet when you're up there and figure out what makes it an acceptable environment for you and for your crewmates, because that's very, very important.
I bet that's important. Let's go over to Amaya.
When you land on the moon and you step out of the capsule, how do you feel?
So the only thing I can equate that to is on the International Space Station. We launch and about 6 hours later, give or take, we're docked to the International Space Station and you come through the hatch. and you see this magnificent machine that we have in low Earth orbit. And the feeling that I personally had was total confusion. You're so used to training to do your job on Earth where you have gravity. And now when you have the absence of gravity and you're trying to do your job in a truly three-dimensional environment, like the wall behind me can be the floor or it can be the ceiling. And the floor in my office definitely is not the floor on the space station. And so you have to work for a long time to get your brain used to using all surfaces of the space station, and anything can be a floor and anything can be a ceiling. It's very, at first, it's very difficult to get your brain used to those sorts of things. Like, imagine being an artist and you can literally look from any dimension at your art and it feels the same to your head. You have to free yourself of thinking like you're on planet Earth.
That's Commander Reid Weissman from NASA's Artemis II mission. Four astronauts will take a trip around the moon. We have a lot more information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, The Moon, and there you're going to find a learning guide that meets and cites educational standards. We've got more with Commander Weissman, and we'll be talking with Dr. Chip Scherer. He is a planetary geologist, and he studies the samples that are brought back from the moon to planet Earth. In the background, you're hearing Claudia Robin Gunn. This is Greg Brown.
I see the moon, and the moon sees me, and the moon sees the one that I long to see. So God bless the moon, and God bless me, and God bless the one that I long to see. It seems to me that God above created you for me to love. He picked you out of all the rest because he knew I loved you best. I once had a heart called mine, you see, but now it's gone to you from me. So take good care as I have done, for you have two and I have none. I see the moon and the moon sees me, and the moon sees the one that I long to see. So God bless the moon, and God bless me, and God bless the one that I long to see.
You're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is now producing weekly educational modules to go with every episode, thanks to a grant from the Albuquerque Community Foundation. You can support this effort too. Go to childrenshour.org and click donate. Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund.